From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQE and weather in the Umpqua Valley, mostly cloudy this afternoon. High of 49, mostly cloudy, patchy dense fog late tonight down to 37. Tomorrow, dense fog until about 7 a.m., then partly sunny and 53. Looking ahead on Friday, mostly sunny, areas of fog until early afternoon, and a high of 54. Looks like there is some rain likely starting Saturday night in the Umpqua Valley. Still 46 degrees, KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Periodically, we will do what I call legislative play-by-play. We're going live to the floor of the Oregon House in Salem, Oregon legislature in session in that 35-day session. State Representative David Brock Smith with us. David, what's going on?
How are we doing today, Kyle? Nice to be here.
Yeah, talk about what's happening right now there on the floor.
Well, we just passed House Bill 4113, which I was a spokesman, increases the coverage for various female cancers. They passed a bill a while ago about doing so for male firefighters, and now we're just bringing that insurance coverage up to our female firefighters, which is fantastic, a good bipartisan, unanimous vote.
So does that mean that it started here in the House and then it goes to the Senate next?
That's correct, yes. We've passed it through the House. Now it'll go to the Senate. They will go to the Senate Committee on emergency veterans and emergency preparedness over in the Senate side and move through their chamber.
And I know where all the contentious things we hear about from both sides of the aisle, there are oftentimes a little more quietly hidden a lot of legislation that does go through with bipartisan support.
This is true. In fact, actually, about between right around 90% of the legislation is fairly unanimous. There's a lot of bad legislation that is not, and severely bipartisan, unfortunately, such as the ag overtime bill that the Democrats are attempting to move through the building without listening to the farmers and ranchers in the state, or even trying to compromise on our migrant worker population. I mean, many would think that, you know, paying our agricultural workers overtime like you would get in a grocery store or any other service industry job is something that would be good. But unfortunately, the workers make more money without it because of the seasonality of those positions. And they want those resources. And many farmers and ranchers supplement their income with housing and food, fuel, and so on and so forth. And so it's a very controversial issue up here at the moment. I really appreciate Representative Daniel Bonham and Representative Shelley Bossart Davis on Business and Labor taking that on for us.
And has that been voted on in either chamber yet?
No, it is just moved out Monday out of Business and Labor and is now in the House Revenue Committee.
So talk about some of the other things. First of all, maybe what's the tone been like in this session, and how's it being done? Is it in person? Do you have some virtual elements as well?
So we're in person on the floor and in the building. Since the Capitol is still under seismic retrofit construction, we don't have access to our committee rooms. So the committees are being run still virtual. The building is open to the public at this time, which is a great thing. 2021 session was a travesty keeping the public out of the building. But the building is open to the public, and you can come and see your legislators. But the virtual committee meetings are still ongoing, not because of COVID, but because of lack due to the construction going on at the Capitol.
What about things that you're trying to see go forward in this session, particular legislation?
My bills are dead. That's what happens. I had an excellent bill that would help, this House Bill 4148, that would help monetize our farmers with regards to restoration of salmon habitat. And so my two bills were all about helping our salmon populations in Oregon, especially in Southwest Oregon in our district. The environmental for-profit nonprofits came out of the woodwork to oppose them because it would basically take money away from their organizations and actually create habitat rather than what they do. And so it was rather unfortunate. Group staffed by our committee during the interim to get the Salmon Credits Program back in 23, and I'm confident that we'll be able to move it then.
Now, was that the only thing you had out there, or were there other pieces of legislation?
Well, we're allowed to. The other bill was a Southwest incubation, salmon incubation box bill, basically giving our salmon a heads up in that off-channel habitat, a leg up, excuse me, in that off-channel habitat, so that you can have wild fertilized eggs in the similar hatch box program in the incubation box, so that they have shelter and places to hide as they grow. And it's wild as you can get to fish, but the ODFW agency was not inclined to move forward with such a program, and so the committee chair Pam Marsh killed the bill, and it didn't even get a hearing in this short session. It's rather unfortunate because, again, both these bills together would really help our salmon populations in our rivers and streams, which is a huge benefit to the environment.
All right, we're having a little phone issue here, so we're going to take our break early and come back with State Representative David Brock Smith live from Salem. The interview, a KQEN podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1244 News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246, Lars Larson at 1. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Mike Winner's Lawn and Garden Show with Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, another candidate interview. We'll talk with Virgil Osborne, Republican candidate for State Representative. Live from Salem, State Representative David Brock Smith, who represents parts of Douglas County, with us from the floor of the House this afternoon. And looking around, one thing I wanted to ask you about, a week or so ago, the state revenue forecast came out. What was your reaction to that?
Well, it just shows that, unfortunately, you know, citizens are still paying way too much in taxes in this state. And having, what is it, $179 million over what we budgeted, start giving some of that money back. I mean, we have the kicker that is a mechanism that, of course, the citizens put in place. But there's lots of things that we can do with that resource. We could not implement the transportation package that has a gas tax increase that's coming. There's a number of things that we can see where those resources can go back to the people that are paying them.
Do you see that likely to happen, or do you see some folks ready to spend all of it?
Well, the Democrats are actually spending more money than we have. So, unfortunately, with the Democrats having a supermajority in the state, I see that not happening with regards to getting people back their resources. However, we do have an election coming up, and there's a lot of positive things that are happening in Oregon, and you can see the polling. I know, Kyle, you've seen the polling that shows that people are just fed up in the direction of this state after a decade of one-party rule. And I have high hopes that we're going to be able to move forward in positive ways to curtail the spending in this state. And that's where we all need to put our efforts in.
For your side of the aisle, what kind of efforts are happening to get more Republicans running, even at this late date as we get ready for May?
So the Republicans in the House are limited by House rule to campaign during session. So it's one of the reasons why you had Christine Drazen, after she decided to file for governor, our House Republican leader, resign because she wouldn't be able to campaign and do fundraising for her governor effort. So we're kind of limited in our ability to campaign. It's a 12 to 15 hour days up here for most of us. And so there really isn't a lot of things happening. But we do have our campaign staff with regards to House Republicans still interviewing potential candidates. We'd like to make sure that we have a Republican candidate in every sixth and every House district, including those in Multnomah County, so that we can get the message out there of what our ideas on how we would move forward with the way that we would manage Oregon and how much better it would be. I do that through legislation. I see, that as my opportunity to express to the citizens, this is the way that this policy would work and how it would benefit Oregonians through legislation. Unfortunately, I do get some passed, but like in this short session, my bills are dead. But however, I do have a number of amendments to other bills to make them. So I guess I'm limited in the number of bills that I can write, but I'm unlimited in the number of amendments that I can write to other bills that could benefit Oregonians, especially some of the bad ones coming through from the majority of the party.
With the governor's race attracting what I believe has to be a record number of folks, 32 between both sides of the aisle and the independent candidate at last check, a lot of interest in that race. Many names are very much unknown, but a lot of known folks in both parties as well. What do you think led to so many people seeking the office of governor?
Well, everybody saw what happened in Virginia, right? Everybody is seeing what's happening across the nation. They've seen the polling here in Oregon. When you have in downtown Portland, in Multnomah County, a poll that shows that current commissioner, City Commissioner Hardesty, and the other gentlemen that are up for re-election only have the support in 1 in 5 of their constituents. It's a huge thing. The pendulum we know will swing back. And I think this year's the year that it will swing back. And when you have that many candidates looking at the polling, you can have a Republican nominee that's the difference of just a few hundred votes when you have, 32 candidates in the race?
Right.
You're gonna have a Republican nominee that that might only get 16%, 18% of the vote.
It's certainly unusual times politically in Oregon. What are some of the things that this session is focused on, especially with the shortness of it, 35 days?
Well, I can tell you that I can speak for my colleagues, and I know I can speak for Senator Hurd about this because we've talked about it, that this session, the short session, was voted in by the people and sold to them in this way, that it was only meant to be minor budget fixes and so forth. And we shouldn't be passing huge packages and very broad and complex legislation like the Ag Overtime Bill, like the Forest Accords that are moving through this legislative body, that are the agreements from our timber industry and environmental for-profit nonprofits that will impact forestry in the state for in upwards of 50 years. So we're not supposed to be doing that, but of course we're not in charge. And until we are, we won't be able to limit what's happening. There's a number of bad judicial bills on policing and so forth that many of our listeners probably have heard about, the bill that's going to keep law enforcement officers from doing just normal stops that you've seen in the papers recently, especially coming from OSP, have shown that in these stops they're catching, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in illegal drugs that, you know, such as fentanyl and methamphetamine, that they're keeping from our kids in our community. So there's the fight's still here. We have 20 days left in the session, and that's all hands on deck to make sure that our rural voices are heard through the process.
Any movement in Salem to add more to the workforce of Oregon State Police?
Not this session, no, not that I know of.
What about other areas of law enforcement? Any other bills related there besides what you just spoke of?
Well, unfortunately, Kyle, there are a few. Some of the bad ones are dead, thank goodness. But it's not. I'm everything. We all have our compartments in the building, and so my committees are all natural resources, and that's my focus for folks. And so that keeps me fairly busy. And so my colleagues in judiciary that deal with the police bills, and my colleagues in education that deal with education bills, they fight on behalf of our constituents in those areas in those committees. And then if they're successful in killing bills, we don't really ever hear about them. And if they aren't, then they update us as the bill, if the bill is moving out and we're going to be discussing it further on the floor. So I don't know of any particular other pieces of law enforcement legislation that could negatively impact our community at the moment.
Around the beginning of the session time, I heard some discussion, and I don't know if it's a formal proposal at this point or if it's just being bannered about raising the pay of lawmakers in Salem. Where's that at?
That is still in the Senate, as far as I know. I have not been tracking that bill, so I have no idea if it is moving or not. I think it would have to go to Ways and Means out of the Senate and get the support through that Ways and Means process, which is a joint committee, before it can come over to the House for a vote.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Other things people ought to know about what's happening in Salem?
Well, just that they need to continue to be part of the process and really, you know, we're fighting hard for our constituents and every way we can with utilizing the tools that we have in front of us to do so. It's not an easy process, especially in this short session. Like I said, when you have all of these pieces of legislation that shouldn't be in this short session, and you don't have a proper process with regards to public hearings and having input of our citizens. But I really appreciate the opportunity and the honor to do this work for them. And I look forward to seeing them soon in district and not in Salem. So I just wish them all to take care and God bless to their families.
All right, State Representative David Brock Smith, live from the floor of the House. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.